Take your Bible and look at Psalm 128. Psalm 128. Blessed are all who fear the Lord, who walk in obedience to Him. You'll eat the fruit of your labor. Blessings and prosperity will be yours. Your wife will be like a fruitful vine within your house. Your children will be like olive shoots round your table. Yes, this will be the blessing for the man who fears the Lord. May the Lord bless you from Zion. May you see the prosperity of Jerusalem all the days of your life. May you live to see your children's children. Peace be on Israel. I miss Paul Harvey's news and comment. And now you know the rest of the story. I was so in hopes that his son, Paul Jr., would take over that tradition of so many years. I was reading the other day Paul Harvey's definition of a father. A father is a thing that is forced to endure childbirth without anesthesia. A father never feels worthy of the worship in a child's eyes. He's never quite the hero his daughter thinks, never quite the man his son believes him to be, and this worries him sometimes. So he works too hard to try and smooth out the rough places in the road for those of his own who will follow him. Fathers are what give daughters away to other men who aren't nearly good enough so they can have grandchildren who are smarter than anybody else in the world. Fathers make bets with life insurance companies about who'll live the longest. And one day dad loses and the bet's paid off to the part of them that they leave behind. John Drakeford, in one of his books, wrote this, quote, "To my two sons, Warwick and Brenton, teachers in the art of family living, who in the process have put gray hairs in my head, bills in my pockets, illustrations in my sermons, happiness in my home, and pride in my heart. I'm thankful for the dad that I had. He taught us how to love God, work hard, and make sure you're characterized by honor and integrity all the days of your life. Dad was not a perfect dad because he didn't have perfect children. But I want you to know when we got out of line, he loved us enough to discipline us, to give us whiplash, getting us back in line quickly." So it's important to understand that God has given husbands and fathers a very different role than women and mothers. And that's what I want to talk about today, is really just the pattern that fathers must set for the family. Look at verse 1 again. He says, "Blessed are those who fear the Lord, who walk in obedience to Him." To fear the Lord does not mean to cringe in His presence. It means to have an awe and a reverence for God. It means that we take God seriously. We need to take God the Father seriously. We need to take our salvation, lordship salvation, seriously. Dads, we need to take God's word very seriously. That's part of shooting straight with your family. I love Ephesians chapter 5, verse 22, where we find these words, "Wives are to submit themselves under their husband as unto the Lord." As you look in Ephesians chapter 5, you'll find the blueprint for marriage. In every premarital counseling sessions that I do, in all of those, I always cover Ephesians chapter 22 to the end of the chapter. And there you'll find that a husband is to love his wife with a sacrificial, unconditional kind of love. Your wife has to know that you would literally lay down your life for her. Paul also wrote that we're to have a cleansing effect on our wives. Our wives ought to be a more radiantly beautiful Christian because she married us. And we also find in that text that we are to love our wives as we do our own bodies. And if you look a little further in that scripture, you'll find these words, "No man has ever hated his body." Now, I'm going to tell you, I've been counseling for 36 years, And I have never had a young man who is about to get married. When I went over this text and I asked this question, do you like your body? I've never had one young man say no. And I tell them, you're to love your wife with the same due diligence that you give to taking care of your own body. And they all say they like to eat. And the guys usually say they shower, at least on Saturday nights. And then they try to dress half decently. With the same diligence and care you give your own body, you're to give your wife. Now here's what I ask the young ladies. The only thing we find here in verse 22, and then down at the end of that Ephesians passage, is a wife is supposed to submit to her own husband. Now that word submit does not mean that she bows down. It does not mean that he's a dictator. That simply means that she has an awe and respect for a husband that loves her with that kind of love I just described. I have not had one young lady, a young bride-to-be, to ever say no to the question, will you have a problem having an awe and a respect and a love for a husband that will love you with the kind of love that's described in Ephesians chapter 5? They all say yes. I think that kind of love makes a lady complete. Over in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 3, we find these words. But I would have you know that the head of every man is Christ, the head of the woman is the man, and the head of Christ is God. Ladies and gentlemen, that is the divine order. It is not up for re-election. It says here, listen carefully. He says here very carefully, he says that the husband is to submit to the Lord, and we see that God is the head. Then we have the husband, and we see that the husband is to be the head of the wife. Now there again, I didn't say anything in the world about a man being a dictator. Nothing whatsoever. Listen to me carefully. This is one of the things that's wrong with our nation. We've got men who will not stand up to take responsibility to be the kind of husband God describes, nor father. In the last census, I want you to listen to this carefully. Those of you who are involved in school systems know this better than me. But according to the last census, in the last 10 years, children born into homes to unmarried parents have risen 77%. Homes led by single moms have grown 25%, and homes led by single fathers have grown 62%. 25% of families in America are now made up of a father and mother and their children. 33% of all children are born out of wedlock, and I want you to know that if you have boys, you have some interesting issues ahead of you. The same census found that sons are 3 times more likely to be on drugs than daughters. They also found in the latest census that sons are 12 times more likely to commit suicide than daughters, and 95% of juvenile court cases in our nation involve boys. Too many dads in the homes believe that the spiritual leadership for the family is mom's responsibility. God clearly states in this passage that the man is to represent the Lord in the home. We need more men who will stand up in their home and say, like Joshua, as for me and my house, we will serve God. What kind of father is God? God is compassionate. God is kind. The Bible teaches God is full of mercy, that his compassions never fail. God is a compassionate father. He has a heart for his children. He loves his children with an unconditional love. And I want you to know, ladies and gentlemen, that we also need some unconditional love of husbands for their wives and also fathers for their children. I was reading the other day about Neil Jeffries. He's a pastor in Texas now, in Dallas, Texas. I want you to know he was the starting quarterback for the Baylor Bears way back in the day of dinosaurs in 1973. It was homecoming. TCU had come to Waco, Texas to play Baylor. It was embarrassing. TCU had gotten ahead of Baylor on Baylor's homecoming 37-6 through the third quarter. Baylor made a great comeback, and listen to this. They got down to 25 seconds left in the game, and Baylor had come roaring back to within 6 points of TCU. Now, those of you who are football fans will love this. This is a quarterback's biggest nightmare. Aside from forgetting the snap count from the center, this is the worst thing that could ever happen to him. I want you to know, Baylor's behind by six. They're 25 seconds left on the clock. Is fourth down on the TCU 12-yard line. Baylor has the ball. Baylor has no more timeouts. They just need to score one more touchdown, and they'll pull out one of the most fantastic comebacks in the history of college football. So I want you to know, Neil Jeffries rushed the offensive line, got everybody set. They snap the ball. The clock's running. He turns and throws the ball out of bounds to stop the clock. The thing he didn't realize is it was fourth down. Totally embarrassed and dejected, he went back to the sideline. The videos at the end of the game show him weeping in front of his teammates. After the team meeting, the guys went to the showers, got dressed in their street clothes, and he walked outside of his locker room. There was a familiar figure. Whether it was a fabulous win or a fabulous loss, there was his dad. His dad hugged him, just like he did when they beat the University of Texas, other great victories. There's one thing that Neil Jeffries could always count on was the unconditional love of his dad. We need to love our kids unconditionally. Notice the prosperity of a faithful man there in verse 2. For you shall eat the labor of your hands. Happy you'll be, and it shall be well with you. God's plan for the father is to be the provider of his family. Genesis chapter 3, verse 19, God gets this out of the chute early in the Word of God. He says, in the sweat of your face shall you eat bread till you return unto the ground. God was speaking to the man. And I am not standing here saying that women shouldn't work outside the home. That's something that you and your husband and God determine. But what I've found in the Word of God, that the man is to be the primary emotional, spiritual, and economic provider of their home. Now, I realize that some of you guys married way beyond yourself when it comes to intellect. You know, some of you married a doctor, some of you men. And so what you do is clean the office, and that's good. I think that's a wonderful thing. You married way beyond yourself, but that is an admirable thing, to clean the office. But what I'm telling you is that I want you to know that the man is the primary person who's responsible for the welfare of his home. You know, the greatest thing you can do for children is love their mother. I'll be honest with you, back in the day when I was being raised, if my mom and dad had divorced, I think I'd have had a nervous breakdown and never recovered. I remember the biggest argument I ever heard my parents have, and they never knew I heard it, was at night after they would put us to bed when I was just a little boy. What happened was that the telephone company, they decided that they needed to bring women into their particular workplace, place in the test center where Dad worked. Now, Mom and Dad were married for almost 62 years. And I couldn't have had a better mom and dad, but I didn't know, I couldn't even spell the word insecurity. But my mom had this great insecurity, and she just thought that Dad was going to run off with one of those women that works up there with the test center with him. And I would hear them at night, after they turned the lights off, Mom would say, I need to talk to you. I could hear it through the walls. And they'd go on till 3 o'clock in the morning, and Dad'd say, I'm faithful to you. I'll never be unfaithful. You need to go to sleep. And I'm going to tell you, he just worshiped the ground she walked on. But listen, guys, you need to let your wives know that you love them. If you think she's beautiful, you need to tell her every single day of your married life. If you don't think she's beautiful, tell her she's beautiful every day of your married life. It works. I'm telling you, just do it. Let them know how much you appreciate them. Have you ever seen your wife putting up the clothes after they come out of the dryer? Thank her for cleaning the clothes. Thank her for meals. If she doesn't cook, thank her for ordering takeouts in your home so you won't be poisoned. It's not a bad thing to let your children, listen, let your children hear and see some of this. It doesn't hurt if you hug your wife in front of the children's mother. And it doesn't hurt if you just have a group hug with your whole family. Your children need that kind of encouragement as well. You are to be a provider emotionally, spiritually, and economically with your home. The other thing, you ought to be a protector of your family. I was reading what Gary Smalley said not long ago. Now, this is his description. He said, the difference between a man and a woman is the difference between a butterfly and a buffalo. He said, now I didn't write this, he did. Gary Smalley said this. He said, she's beautiful, gentle, fragile. She's sensitive to things like a butterfly. She's very sensitive to the aroma and beauty of flowers. You try to catch a butterfly in your hand, you can't do it. You have to use a butterfly net. But if you take a little pebble and strap it to the wing of a butterfly, the butterfly can no longer fly. It falls to the ground and flutters. But if you go to a buffalo and you tape a pebble to the backside of a buffalo, he won't even know it's there. He's strong. He can pull a plow. He can do the work of 4 or 5 men. Do you blame him for that? No. That's the way his nature is. God made him that way. Listen, God made men to be the protectors of their family. Sometimes a man comes across with a tough exterior, but he actually has a gentle heart. I don't know if many of you have watched a little video of the newsreel from Tennessee last week. The father who looked out the window and saw those prisoners that were on the run, who had killed the corrections officers down in Putnam County. Did you hear what he said? He said, I prayed harder than I've ever prayed in my life. And then he had his little girl, they got her in a good place. Then he said, I loaded every gun I had. And said, when I went outside, I didn't even pull my gun. Those two guys just laid down in my driveway and surrendered. I'm thinking the rest of the story is his wife had her gun behind him and it was drawn, but I hadn't heard that yet. But I want you to know he wanted to protect his family, and that's the way God made us. Several years ago, Barbara Walters interviewed General Norman Schwarzkopf, and I guess if there was a hero among men in the 1990s, it would have been General Schwarzkopf who led Desert Storm. She began to talk to him on the air about the casualties, the men and women who had given their lives in Iraq. And as she said that, tears started flowing down his face. And Barbara Walters looked back at him and said, General, aren't you afraid to show those tears on national television? He said, no. What I'm afraid of is a man that can't show tears. Dad, don't be afraid to show your tears. Don't be afraid to show your weakness. I remember when my mom died, and my dad was a tough guy. But when mom died, he just had tears flowing down his face. He said, I'm finished now. I've fulfilled my purpose in life. Don't be afraid to show your children and your wife that you're human. You're a man who is to be sensitive and loving. Support the needs of your wife and children. Be one who is a protector. I read the other day a true story about a teenage girl named Misty. Misty, while she was in high school, had a job as a waitress in a local restaurant. Her dad said, we decided, you know how it is, if you've got a child that works somewhere, you're going to go support that business. So he said, I asked some friends of ours and my wife, let's go eat where Misty is waiting tables at a restaurant. So they went in there and sat down in the restaurant. He said, tell you the truth, he said, we spoke to Misty, somebody else waited on us. And he said, we just started visiting and got into the fellowship and the food, and we weren't paying much attention to what was going on. Well, Misty had a customer that was about 15 years older than her at the other side of the restaurant. Well, he started hitting on her. She just ignored it, took care of business. And when she'd come back to the table, he was very forward with his comments. And then he started asking for her telephone number. And this teenager just was cold and businesslike. Finally, she went back to the table. And he looked at her again. He said, I want your phone number. And so she spoke out loud. She looked at her customer and she said, do you see that man over there? He said, yes. She said, that's my daddy. And we've got the same phone number. So if he'll give it to you, you can have it. You know why she did that? Because her daddy was what? Her protector. Now notice here very, very carefully. We owe them protection. I love Tony Dungy, the first African-American coach to win a Super Bowl, 2007. He retired from football in 2009. He said he wanted to invest more time in his family. And he also said that he wanted to have an impact on men and on fathers nationwide. When he was an assistant coach with the Pittsburgh Steelers, the head coach was a man named Chuck Knoll. He said, one thing that I learned from Chuck Knoll was this. Here's what he said. As a coach, your only job is to help your players play better. That's pretty profound, isn't it? Your only job is to help your players play better. Tony Dungy said, listen, as a husband and a father, your job is to help your family be the best they can be, to help your kids grow up better, and to help your wife be the best woman she can be. Then notice the future wealth of the father and the family is described in verses 2 through 6. Here's the future wealth of the father. He says, the Lord will bless you out of Zion, and you shall see the good of Jerusalem all the days of your life. And you'll see your children's children and peace upon Israel. We look at our country today and we understand what God says in His Word. As the father goes, so goes the home. And as the whole home goes, so goes our nation. If we want our nation turned around, I believe with all my heart, that's going to begin with men. It's going to begin with dads. What did I tell you Joshua said? As for me and my house, we will serve God. And I want you to know that's where we've got to get as men. I believe for God to send real revival in our nation. You know, when you think about being a dad, I would imagine you would say to yourself, I can never be perfect. and that's probably true. I had a first cousin, in fact, two first cousins, that when we were growing up, I was probably in about fifth grade. My cousin's about 4 years and about 6 years younger than me. Their parents separated and then divorced. And I remember that that was a single mom there raising those two kids. And I remember she never remarried, and she worked at the same company till she retired. She worked hard. But I want you to know, the first cousin's name is Michael. And I never knew this. I knew he really loved my dad, but I didn't pay a lot of attention to it. And when Dad died, he said, "I always loved Uncle Paul because he showed me what it was like to be a father and a husband. He always loved you, Mom, and he always loved you kids. And he said, that was something I didn't have, so I always loved to be around him." I was reading the other day about two guys, father, son, back in 2013, Lonnie Whitener and his son Zach. They decided they would go play golf on Father's Day 2013 outside of Houston, Texas, in a place called Richmond. They were playing a fivesome that day. The father, the son, the pro for the country club, and two other people. They got to the par 3, number 6 hole, and Dad, Lonnie, teed up his ball and got out his club, and Lonnie, 57, hit the ball to this par 3. It hit the stick once and went in the hole for a hole-in-one. His 13-year-old son got on the tee a minute later, teed up his ball, hit it to the par 3. It rolled 3 or 4 times, hit the stick, and went in the hole. A hole-in-one. Do you know what the odds are for just a foursome, for two in a foursome to have a hole-in-one on the same hole? 1 in 17 million. Can you imagine that? For a father and a son to have a hole-in-one on the same hole on Father's Day, there are no statistics. That is just almost impossible. So it was well witnessed. So here's what this father does, as he brags every now and then on his son and the relationship they have. When he sees his friend sometimes, he says, "Hey, tell me your best golf story." And he said, "I always won up them with those two hole-in-ones on Father's Day." You know, sometimes, guys, if you're golfers, when you think about your parenting skills and the kind of husband you are, just if two of you hit a drive close to the fairway, that's close enough, because you're not going to be perfect. You know, one thing I appreciate about my dad, he didn't leave us a lot of money. Of course, it was a whole lot more than I thought it was going to be. But you know, I didn't care. They saved all that money for their care. And if my dad had preceded my mom in death, that money was there for her long-term care. But I want you to know from personal experience on what I've received, the best heritage you can leave to your kids is a heritage of faith. Doesn't matter what you leave them materially, but I want you to know that a daily walk and a strong faith in the Lord Jesus Christ will serve your children now and throughout eternity. Let's stand.